I feel that. Operating only on divine channels at 33.3 FM. Here to bring you contemporary self-actualization for everyone. I appreciate where I am at in life. I celebrate the little successes and the big ones too. I love how far I've come and where I am at right now in this moment in time and space. I feel joy and I allow it to flow through me and touch others. I am happy that I am following my path, whatever that looks like. I know that it feels different from day to day, but I know that my dominant feeling is one of happiness and fun and joy. I love that I know how important it is to play, to really embrace my inner child and understand that there is a real beauty in the innocence of childlike play, and it heals me, and it helps me, and it makes me whole. I give so much love to myself, and I give just as much love to everyone around me, because we are all deserving of unconditional, unjudgmental love. And I joyously redirect my thoughts when they stray from that truth. I have come so far, and I am smart, and I am kind, and I am worth celebrating and loving, and I love that I know all these things and that I truly believe them, and no matter what, no one else can make me feel otherwise except for me. And I really want you to go ahead and just say these things to yourself too. Episode 6. Holy shit. I am still in Mexico. I'm actually leaving today on Wednesday. And holy shit. It's been a lot. It's been really, really good. There's been so many incredible moments that I am so grateful for. I have learned so much about myself. I have gotten a little uncomfortable and really taken on the Three of Wands and expanded my horizons. And it happened unexpectedly. And there are things that I did that I wanted to do. And there are things that I did that I didn't expect to do. But I mean, overall, it's been pretty fucking great, honestly. I literally want to move here to Mexico City. It's super rad. Now with the card, getting into episode shit, with the card that I pulled, it is the Ten of Cups. And the imagery on the cups, the Ten of Cups, is really beautiful. I have the herbal tarot deck, so it pairs an herb with each card, and this card is marijuana, which I love, and it's 10 cups stacked neatly, golden, none are spilled. There's a rainbow above it with marijuana leaves everywhere, and there's like a river and mountains, and it just looks lit as fuck in the 10 of cups. And we know what cups are, you know. Cups is water, it is emotions. So it is about, in my intuitive feeling, it is about emotional, not necessarily mastery, because it's not a court card, But I think that it denotes that there has been a shift in how you interact with your emotions, or how we interact with our emotions. And it's less them happening to you, or it's less reactive and it's more proactive. It's more like, I'm using my emotion to serve me, to help me, to recognize what it feels really good, like what is abundant and worth celebrating, and where do I invest my time. And so this vacation that I've been on, I knew I really wanted to interview someone out here and just, like, you know, talk shit out and see what their personal journey through life is like, and how, you know, they're helping the world by being themselves. And I met this Canadian dude at this place called Fuentes Brotantes. It's like this, it's kind of a, it's a place where a lot of people do magic. And my friend introduced me to him. His name is Nat Jack. And so I went to Fuentes Brotantes, and he was teaching a workshop on lucid dreaming and the tarot. And we actually, in our interview, discussed this Ten of Cups ass card. So here it is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful card. Immediately, I first thing I noticed was the rainbow. And for a rainbow to appear, you need to have rain. You need to have downpour. And so it is kind of a card of celebration, of contentment, fulfillment. All these cups, I see them completely filled. Mm-hmm. Whereas you see in other cards, they might be symbolically turned over or knocked over. Mm-hmm. And there's a river here. If you see, notice the river. And for mankind, a river has always been a place of fertility, a place, a destination, a place to settle down, a place to be. So yeah, after emotional turmoil of the rain, we have the rainbow, and we have the river, and we also have hills there. So coming across the hills, coming to this point. So this Ten of Cups is a moment in itself. That's how I feel.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, you know, there's so much happening in the world, and I really try to use the tarot as a guide to kind of guide me through the darkness of, you know, through a lot of what's happening, and just where to direct my energy, and where to, like, allow myself to be brought to. And I'm just curious, like, how do you find a Ten of Cups within yourself personally? Like, what does that look like for you?
I think our day would be a great representation of the Ten of Cups. You know, just, you know, randomly meeting someone and our other friend Furman today at the workshop, and things just going out great. We're experiencing the outdoors, and it's like, wow, this is life. This is life. Life is beautiful. Life is enjoyable. Life is contentment. And I think the Ten of Cups, when you're looking at it, working on its own, not in a combination with other, is truly, like, you can really feel that. It's just the most beautiful representation of the water element, the most quenching.
Yeah, definitely. Which is just so important to take a moment and just be aware that, oh, shit, I'm having a Ten of Cups moment. And it doesn't even have to be that terminology, you know. It's like, oh, like, damn, this is really, really nice, and I'm, like, really, really grateful. And, like, I always talk about cultivating a sense of gratitude, mm-hmm. and, like, having it as a daily practice. Like, I wake up in the morning, I think of three things I'm grateful for. Like, midday, if I'm, like, driving, I'm at a red light, I'm like, well, I'm grateful for this. And then, like, before I go to bed, I think of, you know, things. Like, do you use gratitude in your day-to-day practice, or just overall?
Oh, of course. Are you familiar with Emoto and his work with water?
Yeah,
so love and gratitude is completely huge. And we're looking at the water element right here, right now. So yeah, having that ability to manifest yourself, manifest your destiny through your attitude, through the proper workings of your emotions, like you've said. And an interesting thing about this being the Ten of Cups is, you may be familiar with, when you see all the aces, within the Ace of Pentacles lives all the other pentacle cards. Within the Ace of Cups lives all the other pentacle cards from two to the king within the ace of swords and within the ace of wands, so forth. And so what happens is when you're going up the tarot, so when you get to the pentacle, the king of pentacles, the next card in the vibration increase would be the ace of wands, right? So so this is actually the closest at a vibrational rate to air. So this is on the frontier or the border of the masculine and the feminine, the active and the passive. So this is kind of like through that journey, that inner journey of all that work that has been done so far. This is the highest vibration, the highest upper echelon that when you move forth, you know, other than the royal cards, you're going to go into boom, you're going to hit the ace. Right, the next vibration going into there. So yeah, it does feel like a celebration, like fill my cups up. Yeah. Fill my cups up, pass them around, we're fulfilled.
Oh, totally. How long have you been practicing tarot?
Practicing tarot. I was introduced to the tarot formally by my brother. I think I might have been 18 years old. And I fell in love with it at that point. I felt this such a deep connection. And I was a musician still at that time. I've always been a musician. And I asked him a question. I said, what if I just dropped out of school and I went to Los Angeles? And he pulled out the devil card. And, you know, that could be freaky, you know, at a time. It was a different mindset. But he's like, no, wait, you know, the devil doesn't mean bad, right? The devil could mean, well, maybe it's going to be a great party. You're going to be, have a lot of temptations or so forth. But there's a lot more profound than that you would come to see. More seriously, later in life, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I can't even remember, I started to collect more decks and read more books. And I came to a point where I realized, hey, I can, which I've been doing my lucid dreaming for a long time. Mm-hmm. So wait a minute, I'm reading all these books and seeing all these different opinions and all this and that. Why don't I just have a lucid dream or an out-of-body experience and talk to the Page of Wands or talk to the Hermit and get a real connection with the tarot? And so I don't think I've really been doing the tarot until I started doing that. Because once I started doing that for the practice, like I had the Page of Wands show up, and he was a midget. And he took me in this little tiny car, like a clown car. And all of a sudden, like, I'm in this tiny car full size. And he takes me all over to this, like a messenger. He was like a messenger, and he brought me over to this guy who was... You could say he was a demon, but he was a very dapper man. And earlier on in this out-of-body experience, I had an altercation with a very large demon, like from the movie Spawn. And I made a hole in the earth, and I sent him to the bottoms of the earth, and I banished him. And this, and the demon that the Page of Wands brought me to meet, he goes, "Thank you very much. That guy was such a problem for everyone. Nobody liked him. He was so annoying." And so I was given a gift by this other demon, and it was a scroll. It was called the Torah of Hora. And I thought that was so funny. And I said, "Well, what does this mean? Do I have some sort of like magic within me now? Do I release this Torah of Hora? Was it just an experience for me to learn how the Page of Wands works as kind of like a messenger between bodies, you know, the fire?" What was that? I don't know, but it was awesome. And I think that is an example of what anyone can do with their dreams. It might not be so intense where you're battling, you know, demons or whatever. It might be a little more simple.
Yeah, work up to that.
If that is so, right? Whatever that was, I don't really declare anything, but you know, it was cool. So learning, having a deep connection. Now, anytime I pull a page of wands, immediately I'm like, I know what this means. This Page of Wands is connecting this to that. And it's kind of like it's taking fire, which is a constant motion, constant energy. And it's earthing it, grounding it down, being presentable in a physical form to another, you know, kind of like how we take a thought or an action or a deed and you put it into a word. You suck it out of the ether, put it into a word, physicalize it through your lips, boom.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was cool.
So I'm so curious, how did you merge lucid dreaming and the tarot?
Well, I always use lucid dreaming as a platform for education. Like I would talk to Jimi Hendrix about guitar. I spoke with Gandhi about the meaning of life. I would write music in my dreams. I would practice martial arts in my dreams. And so it just came naturally, since I love deeply in love with the tarot, that I would start to practice the tarot in my dreams. It's just a natural evolution.
That's crazy. I've never been able to really consciously be like, I'm going to lucid dream tonight. Because I never really had any tools or knowledge in order to be like, you need to do this and this and this before you do that. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Now there's like a rhyme and reason to it. But before it was like, man, I'm like having really lucid dreams like a month ago. And then now I'm not doing that. And it's like, do you notice that? Is there a better time to tap into, you know, that realm?
To tap, well, if environmentally, yeah. The full moon tends to bring out your dreams a lot more. But lucid dreaming is energy. So you have to be dedicated to be able to create that extra energy and to spend that extra energy within your subconscious. Because if you're tired and you just see sleep as a place to just rest and not be, well, you're not going to take advantage of it. But if you see sleep as more of a journey to another place or just another side of this life and you appreciate it more, then it will also come to you. It's just like any sort of intuition or any sort of psychic ability. If you don't listen to it or if you put it aside, well, it'll just disappear.
Right.
So same with your dreams. If you're not going to really pay much attention to your dreams, you don't appreciate them, then it's just like anyone in your life. Well, they're just going to eventually disappear and not come back. They'll always be there if you're ready to put in the effort, to put in the energy. But yeah, it's a give and take. It's a give and take thing, your dreams.
So do you feel like it's better before bed to like have more quiet time or like pray or meditate or, you know, is there anything that you do?
For me, if I want to have a lucid dream, very, very rarely recently do I actively try or try. If I have a serious question or... I do a practice which is kind of like an out-of-body too, like between dream and sleep, I'll leave my body. So the most recent time where I was actually trying to actively do that was I was trying to do astral Reiki on my mom to help her with her leukemia. Mm. And so I would give myself the intention. I would definitely, before I go to sleep, I would set a very, very strong intention to do this practice, to do these techniques.
Yeah.
And not only that, I would take advantage of my sleep cycle. So... after having my deep sleep cycles, the first two, which is around 6 hours, I would set my alarm. I would wake up. I would then re-go back into my intention that once I go back to this more REM-based or more dream-based sleep and more shallow sleep, that I'm going to have this experience, right? And so it's much more productive and it's much more highly likely that you would. Definitely just constantly keeping track and journaling is the biggest help. But yeah, setting the intention beforehand is huge. And having a plan and knowing why you're going there. Because even if you do get lucid or you get to a state, an astral or a conscious state, and you don't know what to do, you might just go back to being unconscious in this out-of-body or dream state. So it's important to know what you're going to do so you can actively do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's just like taking time, putting in the energy to commit to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, commit seems like a strong word, but just be like, this is what I want to do. I mean, because, you know, we're in a really mental universe, right? And so the things that we think and the things that we speak, you know, are really just writing the reality, you know, of what is. Also, like when I go to sleep, I actually put rosemary under my pillow to help me remember my dreams.
That's great.
Yeah, and like mandrake root because that like amplifies all magic.
That's what I was, before you showed up to the workshop earlier, I was telling the people there that to set an intention, what you can also do is write your intention down on a piece of paper. Get a essential oil that really helps you and you put it on the piece of paper. And even as you're writing this thing and thinking about this thing, you're smelling. So this smell is connected to that particular plan of action. And you can take that and you can put it under your pillow. And so that smell can trigger you subconsciously to whatever technique, there's a whole lot of techniques that I won't get into the techniques for lucid dreaming, but whatever your techniques are, that will trigger you to use that technique or at least to trigger you to just naturally enter a lucid state.
Do you have any like scents that you prefer?
I like dragon's blood. I feel like dragon's blood is a very activating oil. And so I can use something in sleep where you're deactivated. Mm-hmm. It's something that could encourage you to be more active. So I prefer dragon's blood. There's lots of different ones that people use, you know.
Yeah, I would use a lot of rosemary and a lot of lavender. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I actually use lavender spray in the club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, it soothes people. You know, yeah, it's you know, that energy is just really, like, calming. And I just, like, you know, all over myself before I do it. Yeah, no, that's really cool. I love the marriage of tarot and lucid dreaming. And I mean, the tarot is really just, it's just a part of everything, right? I mean, earlier you were talking about, it was the Kabbalah and like all the numbers in the tarot and how it's, you were saying it was connected to the Matrix as part of the tarot and just like the movie, not, you know, not what we're in right now, but also that. But yeah, I mean, it's just really amazing how it just shows up everywhere. And the archetypes, that's mm-hmm. why I really love working with tarot as a divination tool, is because the archetypes are just everywhere. You know, it's like when you're in high school and like your parents are like, get used to that person because you're going to see him at your job when you graduate. You mm-hmm. know, it's like that type of person is going to be around. But it's like certain types of archetypes might fade away into the background the more that you work on yourself. Like, so is there any archetype that you identify with, or is there a particular card that you feel really connected to?
That I feel very, I see right now, is I would very feel very connected to the Fool. In these last days, I just got a tattoo of the dog, of the Fool, because dogs have been just coming up and giving me a synchronistic, intuitive reminder to keep going with this flow and to stay blank and not to judge and to be the Ein Sof. The Ein Sof is another word for the nothingness. You know, that's the Kabbalistic word. And the Fool definitely right now, but it could definitely change what I feel. Sometimes I can see a negativity, like the Emperor. Oh, I'm trying to be too controlling. That Emperor, I got to really pay attention to that Emperor in me. Mm. The card, I would say, the Chariot, definitely. Mm. You know, being a Cancer sign is the Chariot. It has the two paths. And it's constantly like, oh, I don't know what to do. You can totally procrastinate when you got two powerful things. Well, I can do that, which is totally awesome. Or I can go that way, which is totally awesome. It's not until the Chariot takes control and takes the reins of that kind of like that back and forth, that flow, that 69 symbol that you have in the Cancer, that you can start to direct that Chariot, use that to travel to amazing places. So the Chariot is definitely an important card for me, being a Cancer personality or a Scarab personality. I don't like using the Cancer. It's actually a scarab beetle. You know, if you go back to the more ancient symbols, it's the scarab. Scarab. Mm. Which is the true. The Greeks didn't have that, so they used the crab, you know, later on, you know, to more change the zodiac to be more culturally fitting.
You're blowing my mind right now, because I'm a Cancer. So I'm just like, yeah, so
it's a really cool thing. So you look at the scarab has always been like, it has the shell, and it's feminine. It lives, takes care of the earth, and it's a really cool. Look that up. How the scarab in the Egyptian zodiac, because it's in Egypt before it gets to Greece and to Babylonia and all those other places, right? So yeah,
that's so wild. What? Okay, I'm gonna have to research into this. Well, it's interesting because I've always been really intrigued by beetles and like scarab beetles in particular, because like, you know, they're just so beautiful looking. You know, the iridescent like shell. What type of work are you doing in this incarnation that is you? You know, what do you feel that you're bringing to the earth in this lifetime?
What am I bringing to the earth? I really don't know. Yeah. I don't really think about it. Whatever it is I'm doing it whether or not I'm conscious of it. I definitely have no idea. I think that's the most honest answer I can give you. It's kind of just unveiling itself as I go.
That's amazing. That's really amazing because I feel the same way about me. You know, there's like, I have a vision of like what type of energy I want to bring. Like, I want to help people love themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. Like, really, really, I really want to do that with my lifetime. But the way that's so vague, you know, it's like, what is that going to show up as, you know? So I think, you know, I love your honesty because, you know, you're teaching workshops and you're traveling around and, you know, you're doing stuff and you're connecting with people, and it's really heartening to know that you have no idea what the fuck you're doing either.
That goes back to the fool. The zero is, I think, daily I'm trying to let go of me being, like, I'm not an expert in any of the stuff that I do a workshop. And actually, most of the time, I prefer calling it a conversation. We're going to have a I'm going to be a leader of the conversation in the tarot today. I'm going to lead this conversation on lucid dreaming. I'm going to lead this conversation on intuition or meditation or whatever we're going to be working on that day. I'm simply just the leader of this conversation, because you're going to pick up and you're going to learn so much from other people that same day. Yeah, regardless if it's going to be a whole lot or a little, but it's going to be something that you're going to evolve with. And so these workshops or these conversations are a tool for me to maintain my mind in a way that connects me to the things that I truly love and I appreciate. Definitely. And find people that are like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. It's about my last podcast episode was about meeting spirit halfway. And so it's like putting yourself in situations where spirit can bring the what you need in order to excel to you. And you know, it's just like, I personally spend a lot of time at home in my personal space because I need a lot of time to rest and recharge. And my goal this year is to really focus on meeting spirit halfway and putting myself out into the world, into situations and places, which I think I'm doing an okay job.
You're in Mexico.
I think I'm doing like okay at it now. You know, it's the beginning. I feel like the fool, mm-hmm. for sure. Just like taking a leap. You know, people ask me like, why am I here? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why I came to Mexico. You know, I'm just here, you know? And so it's really, really beautiful that we get to connect like this and, you know, talk about this type of shit, because this is all I ever think about, you know, like straight up. It's like once you're on the path, it's like you can procrastinate and bullshit and do whatever and go back to your habits, but it's just like it's always going to be there, you know, at the forefront of your mind, like all of these things exist and like the ethereal exists, and you know, it's just so amazing.
It's a beautiful thing to begin your experience. To talk about it or to hear about it. That's interesting. And you might even be skeptical and be like, what are these guys talking about? But to experience it is such an amazing thing. And what has actually happened to me is experiencing at such a young age, the novelty of it kind of wore off and the enjoyment, especially that I'm in an environment that doesn't kind of support that or doesn't have that flourish. So I would be acting a certain way or in a certain school setting or wherever I was, and it would kind of be passed away to the side, and I would go home and I'd dream and I'd write in my journal and relatively keep it to myself. And having the ability to do workshops, you know, this is my second interview this week, doing interviews and talking about it allows me to energize that and vivify that love and that wonder, because I've probably had, you know, 10,000 lucid experiences. How many do I remember? I maybe remember 2,000 of them. How many could I drop off you, right now and drop off a dime? Maybe 100. How many, you know, like, do I have know like the full thing? Maybe, you know, 25. And that is because we don't talk about it as a society, as a people. We let this stuff go under the rug. And so the stuff that we really should be embracing, that our ancestors knew how to embrace and knew how to make a part of our life, we haven't. And it's a big part of why some people will feel that the earth and mankind is not really doing the things they should, is because they're not using and they're not appreciating all of their faculties. So yeah, I want to thank you for bringing this up and this happening and doing this now, because just talking about it, okay, well now my tarot, my 10 of cups is going to be that much stronger every time I pull the 10 of cups. And now my dreams are going to be stronger tonight because I've been talking about it. I've been appreciating it. I've been telling my subconscious or my lunar or my feminine mind, my passive mind, however, whatever term floats your boat or makes it or works for you. I've been telling that and putting that energy to that mind that, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm open to whatever you're saying. Maybe you got a crazy nightmare. Okay. I'm open to confronting that. I'm open to just being there. Whatever it is. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's just, being able to place your attention on something that just feels so good, especially with other people, and being able to share that is so important. And like not being judged and just being listened to and heard. And, you know, so it's about like aligning yourself with that type of energy. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to always appear to you all the time, but it's really, really great when it does, you know. And I always talk about placing your attention on things and that being the forefront of your reality. It's like what you give your attention to is really just going to show up for you, because you put out the call and the universe answers, you know. It's just one of those things. So I really like that you said that by talking about it, you know, that your dreams are going to be much stronger tonight. And, you know, by thinking about that, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I love that. I love that.
I think this whole conversation could encompass the Ten of Cups. And the Ten of Cups could be a goal, something that you seek. When you look at, is it the Nine of Cups? It's a kind of like desire, all the choices or all the things that you could elect to enjoy. But where Ten of Cups is like, no, you have it, you're here, you've arrived, this is paradise in this moment. So everything's constantly changing energy. But when you're in the Ten of Cups, make sure you scream cheers, salute, and you drink up, because you're in that moment right now.
Yes. Thank you. So I have to ask, I know you don't know what you're necessarily doing in this life experience, but do you have any wisdom or any advice that you just would love to impart in the world?
Okay, well, I think for that question, advice is an interesting thing, because think of the word vice. What is vice? And then if you're going to add vice, because all of us are imperfect.
Right.
And so I think when you're giving advice, you just feel that there's nothing else you can actually do, so you know, give them advice.
True.
And that's why I never say I'm a master. I never say I'm a teacher. I never have any you know, any sort of promises. And I'm not giving anyone advice. I'm giving them less vice. I'm giving revice. You're revising, you know, we're going to make up words today, right? Words that make more sense to what we really want to be as a culture. And we want our language to represent. We don't want our language to represent advice. We don't want to add advice to anyone. We want to add love. You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to add love to your day. I'm going to add love, and then you can, whatever works for you from that love, whatever that love gives you, empowers you to do, that's yours to do. I'm not going to give you from my, because we're all imperfect, and we're all going through our own struggles. And I'm not going to take water from my poison fountain and add it to your poison. I'm just going to focus on clearing my water, purifying my water. And as I'm over here working on my water, I'm going to send you love. And over that, and you're going to feel my love. And you're like, oh, look at that guy. He's over there with his own thing, sending me love. And I'm over here with my own thing. I'm not going to mix the waters up, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's reframe that. I really thank you for that. That was really... I love that, because your words are so powerful, you know. Do you have any love, your particular flavor of love that you want to share with the world?
Just do it. Just play. Just play. Be bold. Just play. That's it. You want to play in a band? Just play. You want to be in a band? Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about making money, all that stuff. If something you want to do, just do it. J-U-S-T. Just. Justice. You know what I mean? Justice comes for everybody, yeah. Right? So at the end of the day, it's not about anyone else. It's about just us. Just. Justice. Just us. It's we were taken care of. And you know what I mean? I can talk a whole bunch of inspirational stuff and bring out charisma and start leading you and building this group of people and start the guru. But no, it doesn't matter. So just do you. Just be your own thing. And I feel that works for me whenever I can tap into that. And have the confidence to do that,
yeah.
You know. So you're here right now. You're listening to this to this podcast, and you're obviously growing. You're obviously seeking to grow. So just keep going. Don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop. And if you realize for one moment that you slowed down, get back on it again. Don't look for a reason. Don't look for someone to tell you. Don't look for a reason to do it. Just do it. You know. Don't look. Just do it like the sun does it. Don't look for a re-sun, because there's no other sun that's going to come and heat up your day and give you life. Just do it. Be the sun now. Be the light. Don't look for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so, so much for talking with me and gracing me with your presence. I'm so glad that we connected. There's never any coincidence, you know, it's always perfect timing, synchronicity, and just so grateful for you. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise, very much. I feel the same. Thank you very much.
This is the astrological forecast for February 6th through the 12th, 2019. Did somebody say Aquarius season? Yeah, well, I mean, we've been in Aquarius season, but it's still happening. Anyway, I'm gonna go over the positions of the moon for this week, and then the aspects. And if you don't know what aspects are, they are how the planetary energies interact. We are fresh off a new moon in Aquarius. It was the first new moon of the lunar new year, which was the 4th of February. And so it's really just like hella new beginnings since January 1st. There's just so much being released, and there is so much that is about to make an appearance in our experience. So the energy is still really, really fresh, and there's no better time than the present to set intentions and goals for, you know, what you want to do for this lunar cycle. So on the 6th and the 7th and the 8th, the moon is in Pisces. And on the 9th and 10th, the moon will be in Aries. And then on the 11th and 12th, it will be in Taurus. And when we think about Pisces energy, you know, for the first 3 days of this week that I'm doing the forecast of, you know, Pisces are really dreamy, and they really get down and dirty when it comes to helping people. They are not afraid of damaged goods. And not only that, I mean, they are so tapped into the ethereal, so deeply connected to their intuition and just really the divine realm. So it's just really a great time to create and play and really trust yourself, because I'm sure a lot of information is coming through, especially with, you know, the new cycle that we are in. And then, you know, we got the Aries energy happening, which is always a great time to do, to initiate, to just go for the damn thing. Use that fire energy to really carry you and really get that momentum popping. And then we got that Taurus energy, which is still very creative. It's a little bit more indulgent, which isn't a bad thing. But I think it's a good time to watch out for laziness, for maybe overindulging. You know, it's not bad to splurge on yourself, but you know, in Taurus, it's about comfort and hedonism and luxury and just having nice things and, you know, having a nicely decorated space. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but right now we want to keep ourselves in a place of accomplishing goals and redirecting our attention to the tasks at hand. So while, you know, Taurus is great, I think it's going to be a moment just for us to focus on redirecting ourselves. On Thursday the 7th, the Sun sextiles Jupiter and Mercury sextiles Mars. And sextile is a favorable aspect. Typically, it is like a feeling of ease. Usually the planets interact really easily. There's no friction, really. And on the 7th, we're going to be in that moon in Pisces. So it's just really a positive thing. You know, it's a time for us to allow ourselves to be guided to opportunities that are going to really help us expand. It's time for us to take initiative and to really further ourselves. On the 9th, Mercury sextiles Uranus, and so that's another favorable aspect. But Mercury has to do with like communicating, and Uranus is Aquarius, and it has to do with like being authentic. But there is some parts of Uranus that can be uncomfortable. Uranus really shakes us up, and it wants only good for us. And sometimes it's not delivered in the funnest and most comfortable way. But that's just how it is with that energy. It really is just stepping into who you really are, no matter how you get there. So there might be some bullshit happening on the 9th that could be frustrating. But always, always, always with Uranus, it's moving us forward. So even when you're in the drama of whatever the friction is, just know that ultimately, because it is a sextile, it's a positive thing, and it's something that's going to further us. On the 10th, Mercury enters Pisces, and, you know, that is, again, that Piscean energy really tapped in to the ethereal. So there might be more clarity of your connection to other people. There might be more sensitivity to the world. Every Pisces I know is like a total fucking like alien. So there is a little disconnect from reality, but it's gonna be a time where we are striving to really communicate with ourselves and others in a way that brings about a sense of like compassion for others, and that seeks harmony with ourselves and others. Because at the end of the day, Pisces just really want to help, and they really want to love people. And we're going to be hopefully open to communicating in that regard. On the 12th, Mars conjuncts Uranus, which can go either way with conjunction, that aspect. And usually when it has to do with Mars, there's friction. I want to stay away from the word negative, because ultimately a lot of shitty things happen to us that make us better. So with Mars conjunct Uranus, again, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to shake us up. But Mars is a very fiery energy. It's very aggressive. So it's good to be aware of a potential for conflict. It is not always a bad thing to be conflicting with something, because oftentimes, you know what it is, it's not working. And it's really helpful when we recognize that. But just be aware that on the 12th, in order to continue shifting ourselves forward, we might encounter some conflict that is going to push us forward, but not feel so great. And I want you to know that you deserve to feel great and that planetary influences are not the end-all be-all and they're not going to affect everyone the same way. But I hope that you have a lovely week in the Earth realm, and I'm sending you all my love.